Blog Talk Radio.
Most people say they hate wearing shoes and would go barefoot if they knew they were allowed. People say it all the time on their social medias, but they are worried that someone will say something to them. So everyone wears the cheapest flip-flops with the least amount of fabric on them. Most people do not even know that it's completely 100% legal to go barefoot into a store. Most people think that driving barefoot is illegal, but it isn't. Driving barefoot actually is safer than wearing most shoes. Going outside barefoot for a walk is one of the healthiest things you could do, but most people are afraid someone will say something. Or they quote the myths and the rumors that their grandma told them years ago. The fact is, there are no laws against driving a car, going to a store, or eating in a restaurant barefoot. So don't give in to bad fashion, hurt heels, or a broken flip-flop. For more information, please check out barefootislegal.org or find us on your favorite social media.
Food waste is one of the most easily solvable problems, literally the low-hanging fruit of environmentalism. Pardon the pun, it's my job.
About 20% of all produce never makes it off the farm.
It's because they just look a little funny,
a little weird, but when you cut into it, it's perfectly good food.
It's just a total shame. It's totally good stuff.
We buy ugly produce directly from farms that often would go to waste because supermarkets won't buy it because of how it looks, and we deliver it to people's doors.
Beauty standards for an apple.
This isn't that ugly at all. Like, that's the most common first box, like, complaint we get.
We change that. We educate people. We show them how amazing these fruits and vegetables are.
Have food delivered to your house.
Box of produce every week.
And it's more affordable.
At a very reasonable price.
Cheaper than the grocery store.
I spend a lot less time in grocery stores.
It's an adventure every time that you open your box.
High quality produce.
There's nothing wrong with the produce.
And they taste exactly the same, if not better.
Save those fruits and vegetables that get wasted every year.
And it's delivered to your door, like...
But what? Why wouldn't you do?
Please go to our website, freedomizerradio.live, and sign up for Imperfect Foods today. Use our promo code and get money off your first order. Go ahead and get some organic and all-natural meats, dairy, snacks, breads, and non-GMO produce.
Earthing, also known as grounding, is the act of touching our body's skin directly to the earth, just like our ancestors did as they slept, sat, and walked on the ground nearly every day of their lives. This simple connection allows Earth's natural negative electrons to enter the human body, pacifying dangerous free radicals, which, if left unchecked, can cause severe damage to cells that can lead to many chronic diseases. Ground Therapy's patented process and suite of products were designed for you to experience all the benefits of grounding in your busy and modern lifestyle. And you'll experience the benefits of grounding within the safety and comfort of your home or office throughout the entire day, just as if you were touching the earth itself.
The information is provided for general informational purposes only. The contents are not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Ground Therapy Incorporated makes no representations about the efficiency, appropriateness, or suitability of any specific tests, procedures, treatments, services, opinions, healthcare providers, or other information that may be contained in or available through the information provided.
Hello, everyone. I want to introduce you to our friends at Marty.com. At Marty, you can stock up on all your pantry items and other household items for way, way cheaper than traditional grocery stores. I like that most of the items are organic. Also, I really dig their 1 cent deal of the day. It changes every single day. I recently snagged a 10-ounce bag of dog treats for Chewbacca for a penny. Normally, they sell on their site for $7.99. With the upcoming food shortages, this is my favorite place to stock up on canned goods. If you live in the mountain or Pacific time zones, you need to get with Marty.com. M-A-R-T-I-E.com. look for our link on our freedomizerradio.com website and get a $10 free just because I told you to go there. Marty.com. Great deals, good feels.
Hello, folks. We are here with Barefoot is Legal Radio. Barefoot is Legal is a 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to the rights and legalities of living the barefoot lifestyle, as well as general information, support, and encouragement around barefooting and connecting the earth in that way and grounding. There's so many different aspects of barefooting and so many reasons in which why people barefoot. And even within these main categorical reasons why people barefoot, there's so many different individual reasons from person to person in which, you know, why they barefoot, but also how. And there's so many different other kind of, you know, factors and uniquenesses around our barefooting journey within our own lives. But, you know, people mainly barefoot for spiritual and religious reasons, cultural and heritage reasons, medical reasons, whether that be, you know, more of your mental health, which is, you know, still an aspect of medical health, or if that be more so your physical health. And, you know, there's so many different aspects within these, you know, categorical reasons in which people, why people barefoot, that, you know, people have their own individual experiences, their own individual beliefs, their own individual preferences. You know, people that barefoot for, you know, disabilities often, you know, are not barefooting for these same exact disabilities. But even if you have the same disability as another person, you still have your own experience of it. I mean, you know, illnesses, disabilities, these things exist on spectrums and, you know, and symptoms often are, you know, with a lot of, you know, chronic conditions, you know, can be very, very different, you know, from person to person. And it's important to understand that, you know, everyone has their own individual experience with their barefooting, because everyone has their own individual experience within their body, their minds, and just existing in the world. You know, we all have our own experiences that, you know, influence us, and our own internal realities then influence our experiences. And there's, you know, always, I think, so much happening in every, you know, social dynamic, although at times I may not always understand it, being autistic, but at the same time, there is definitely a lot to be observed in our every interaction around us in the world. And, you know, there's so many different aspects of that, you know, mental, physical, emotional, but even there are just so many different social factors. And, you know, everyone has their own experiences, their own internal realities. And, you know, although our experiences then affect, you know, the reality that we have internally and the, you know, thoughts and opinions that we often develop because of our experiences, but also, you know, our thoughts, opinions, and our internal realities also go on to influence, you know, our every interaction, I think, in more ways than most people are consciously aware of, although I may not always understand it. It's still being painfully aware of it on some level, even if it's just because of, you know, disconnect. I think that if a lot of people really took the time to analyze the world around them, they would realize that a lot of things within social norms are really just kind of redundant. There's really no point. It's just ridiculous. A lot of the ways that we, you know, police each other in our presentation of self and the ways that we exist, but at the same time, it's like, sorry, my brain is dead today, and I do apologize, folks, for a late start to the show today due to some technical difficulties, and then also I'm okay, but I was in the ER last night not for myself and for my partner, so I'm not really going to get into it, but yeah, my staying up for over 24 hours will melt the brain. So a wrap. But when is my brain not melting? But I think my point is, I think often we're not always aware of all these other dynamics, and influences and external forces around us that, you know, do affect our every experience in everyday life. And I think we really become aware of that, though, when being ourselves becomes, you know, kind of at war with social norms and social expectations. And sometimes I feel like I wouldn't be so aware of things in society to the point that my observations until others, you know, finally see them sound crazy. Sometimes I feel like I wouldn't, you know, see this if it wasn't for the ways in which I kind of clash with neurotypical society and all the ways that to be myself, it kind of violates so pointless social norms that are redundant. And you know, we put so many limitations on how to act and behave that we kind of lose sight of the things that actually matter. You know, we worry so much, I feel like, as a society, of so many things, of whether or not they're socially appropriate. But it's actually really sad how much in our society it's socially appropriate for, you know, people to, you know, come into, you know, stores and harass employees, workers, you know. And, you know, and just in general, we have so much of people just, you know, taking their crap out on each other and things like that. And you know, and we definitely see that, you know, as barefooters, you know, people that really could find something better to do with their time but apparently can't, you know, wanting to kind of put their harmful opinions and ideas just out there in very nasty ways. Well, at the same time, some people, you know, are genuinely coming from a place of concern, even if, you know, again, their concern isn't, you know, a legitimate concern within your own experience as a barefooter. You know, I do think that, you know, other people, you know, having fear and concern over your safety or under barefooting, it is valid, but there can definitely become a point in time where people's concern for us can overstep or at least, you know, feel like it's overstepping or, you know, potentially threatening, you know, like our autonomy and our own boundaries. And, you know, and I think it's, you know, about finding ways to have that kind of awareness and with each other and kind of be able to have that conversation where, of course, this person is concerned about you. When it's somebody that, you know, is close to you and loves you, that may not understand your barefooting, that may not understand the coping mechanism that this is for you and the ways in which that it, you know, it helps you and makes a huge difference in your life. You know, unfortunately, a lot of people, you know, their fears around barefooting, you know, are around a place of, you know, love and care and wanting to care about you and, you know, your safety. But at the same time, you know, anyone that's, you know, been doing barefoot for, you know, longer periods of time knows that, you know, our feet are adaptable and, you know, has seen in their own real experience the ways in which their feet have adapted to their environment. And, I mean, last summer, I think it was, I mean, there were times where I was walking on broken glass and, I mean, splintered, like, stuff and having friends be like, what the heck? How is that possible? Girl, how are you doing that? And me just being like, feet adapt. I've been at this for a while, I guess. But, you know, every year it can definitely be frustrating if you, you know, have to wear shoes in the winter because you can lose that, you know, progress. And so, you know, remember if you're getting back into it, you know, with the spring and stuff like that, you know, take it at your own pace, take it slow. You know, don't overdo it too much to the point that you are harming yourself it's good to push yourself, you know, make those milestones. I mean, you know, getting back into barefooting, you're going to have those moments where, you know, your feet get sore, your feet get tender from, you know, just pushing it, you know. I've been barefooting more, you know, and I was able to really get out on the gravel more without it being too much of an issue because with it being warmer. And I know from, like, my own experience that, like, when let me clear my throat real quick. But I know from, like, my own experience that if muscles in my feet are too locked up, and often if it's too cold for me with my muscle issues and temperature sensitivities and the ways those influence each other in my own body, you know, and having, you know, muscles locking up and things like that. When it is, you know, colder out, then it causes muscles to restrict more, and be tighter, lock up more. But, you know, also too, it does make barefooting a little bit harder because your feet don't move as freely when, you know, you're cold and your muscles are locked up. So, like, I do notice a difference between, you know, walking on gravel when it's in the 70s and walking on gravel when it's in, like, the 40s, 50s, even, you know, 60s, like lower 60s and stuff. So when it's like 70s or hotter, you know, you can definitely feel a difference. At least I can. and definitely within my experience, it's very interesting having both, you know, extreme, you know, sensory sensitivities and also struggling with interoception, because it can be kind of a push and pull between, you know, feeling very intense signals in my body to not really feeling them at all. Or even if I am feeling them very intensely, still not knowing, you know, what they mean or where they're coming from entirely, even if I can feel them and feel the pain and feel that there's a general issue going on. And interoception, you know, has to do with, you know, being able to receive and analyze the signals that, you know, these bodily signals. This can even, you know, be anything from pain to going to the bathroom, just really any aspect of taking care of one's body and needs in the ways that, because, you know, everything is pretty much sensation, you know, in our experiences, and, you know, sounds, touch, you know, our literal senses, those are, you know, there's sensations within that and our experiences and, you know, the perceptions made within our brain and from our senses, you know, these are sensations. And so, you know, sensory issues, you know, it is definitely more, causes one to have both kind of more awareness and also more lack of awareness around these sensations. But the thing is, as humans, we all have, you know, these different experiences in our bodies. But, you know, when things like, you know, touch and sound and light become, you know, such an issue that it is, you know, so overstimulating, like, this is a very intense, you know, sensory experience. Now, of course, anyone at any point can become, you know, too, you know, tired or overwhelmed with, you know, lights and sounds if they are, you know, pushed, you know, too far, of course, because, you know, we're all human. And I think it's important to understand that, you know, with ADHD and autism, a lot of these experiences are still things that other humans can, you know, experience to some degree. You know, we're all humans. But what sets these things apart is having this, these more intensive, you know, nervous system and sensory experiences among a lot of other more complex, intense experiences within the wiring of the brain that sets it apart. But I do think that it is definitely frustrating the way that people will, you know, try to use the fact that, you know, all people have sensory experiences to some degree, or use things about how, well, we're all human, or, well, why do this, and blah, 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 you know, to undermine the validity of ADHD and autism. And we see this all the time, even regardless of whether or not a formal diagnosis is present, regardless of how close that individual is with that person. I mean, you see this kind of all the time on the internet, you know, even, but it's important to understand that we're all human, you know. People with ADHD and autism or just sensory processing disorder in general, you know, are still humans. They still have, you know, it's not like they are entirely aliens. Now, I will be honest, being autistic constantly feels like being a socially alien in ways that most people aren't aware of until I start talking about it. And then very quickly am I, you know, undermined because everyone's like, well, you just need to get over it. Like, that sounds crazy. And it's like, it's almost like that's my experience. You know, but, you know, taking that, you know, anyone can, you know, have, you know, so much, I'm sorry, my brain is like, bleh, today was the communication. Yeah, I stayed up for over 24 hours, take my partner to the ER. And even the night before I don't even know if I'd gotten 4 hours of sleep. So, sorry, but, you know, we all can benefit from the sensory experiences of barefooting and grounding and the positive experiences that it has on the nervous system. And I'm saying this as a general, you know, generalization as we all, because I understand that different people have allergies and their own sensory issues and, you know, may even have, you know, conditions with their feet, you know, neuropathy, in the feet, and, how these things, you know, can definitely create, you know, a barrier or, you know, a lack of accessibility or just make barefooting not a legitimate coping mechanism or tool for a lot of people. But overall, there are very many different benefits that nature and grounding and barefooting do have to our nervous system in terms of our mental health and our physical health. And even trees, the, you know, vapors that they release that are kind of basically essentially what, you know, essential oils kind of are, is like those vapors that trees and plants can naturally give off in the air, but very concentrated, of course. And so even like these essential oil-like properties and things like that, which if anything are actually safer than how most people, I would say going out in nature and breathing in the vapors that, you know, trees and plants are releasing, then healing aspects of that and the regulating aspects of that is often even more safer than people using essential oils. And because there are different types, there are, you know, oil, there are like oil oils, which, you know, are oils in infused with plants, and those were like essential, like, concentration oils of plants mixed in with some kind of oil base. But a lot of essential oils are just very concentrated forms of what's extracted from these plants. And what's important to understand is, although there are it's really important to understand that a lot of the plants out there that are amazing for healing are also poisonous in large consumptions, and what you may think is not being a large consumption could still be a large consumption of that plant or that part of the plant or that, you know, what was extracted from the plant, if that makes sense. Sorry, brain. Let me clear my throat. So, you know, I do encourage people to be very mindful and aware when using essential oils. And then believe me, the internet and the world and even retailers can make it very confusing for customers and just the general public between what is oils infused with, you know, these plant matter extracts and what is, you know, a concentrated plant extract. And so definitely be mindful. I definitely, you know, recommend people not being careless with putting things in or on their body without, you know, professional guidance, especially when it comes to things like that, like essential oils, which can be very dangerous. I mean, people burned holes in their throats and their stomach, and I'm not saying, and I'm not saying that to scare anyone, but if anything, to prevent people from hurting themselves because through trying to seek out natural healing, because I don't want anyone to cause any harm to themselves, especially when your goal is healing. That's a very unfortunate way to end up hurting yourself. I mean, any way is unfortunate, but that is definitely frustrating, you know, when you're trying, you know, to help yourself and you end up making it worse, you know. Anyway, but, you know, being in nature, you know, those natural oils, you know, released through trees and plants, there are so many beneficial properties of just, you know, breathing it in and healing properties. I wish I had the brain cells right now to even explain this better, which I feel like I say every show. But that's where we're at. But even just the different sounds, there's, you know, research behind, you know, songbird, you know, those sounds just being very motivating even, but relaxing and revitalizing, but also helping with focus, alertness. And there's different aspects of that, how different woodland sounds, you know, even contribute to regulating the nervous system and healing. And again, you know, we are humans with so many different sensory experiences, sounds, light, you know, touch. And so although, you know, those of us that do have, you know, sensory issues, you know, this can, you know, the need for barefooting can be even more intense for us because of the ways in which, you know, shoes can be overstimulating and can cause sensory issues, you know, and I'm for me, it's definitely a pushing back and forth frustration where due to sensory issues, I mean, I may need to wear, you know, socks or shoes in some kind of form, and it can, and then that can even cause issues with my body and other ways, and it can definitely, you know, be a very complex push and pull experience, you know, with barefooting and with listening to your body and taking care of yourself. But, you know, it's important to understand that nothing is one size fits all. There is no one size fits all journey or anything like that. You know, so listen to your body to the best of your ability and, you know, find ways and means of checking in on yourself. You know, and even if you have to physically check your feet, you know, especially if you're someone that struggles with interoception or properly receiving those signals of what's going on in your body, what's going on with your feet, due to whatever reason that may be, you know, kind of having those check-in points of physically just checking your feet, looking at them, use your sight. You know, we have all these sensory experiences that just make up our constant existence. And so, you know, and I think, you know, it is definitely a process and a journey of learning to live with safely and fully within our bodies, to, you know, connect with our bodies and understand and take care of ourselves, especially if you do have, you know, different neurodivergent conditions, chronic illnesses, disabilities, and things like that, it can become a lot harder to understand, you know, what you're experiencing, but also how to help that and how to take care of that. And as crazy as it sounds, starting my barefooting journey was a huge aspect of me really learning to be able to listen to my body and understand what was going on in my body. I didn't really understand the interoception issues I was having. I didn't understand my meltdowns. I didn't really understand the sensory issues I was having. And even once I started the barefooting journey, you know, back in 2020, it was like a process of really understanding that. And in 2020, I really started to understand so many different aspects of my sensory experiences and just my existence in my body, and it was just kind of a journey that like snowballed from there. And I honestly believe that there's so many different aspects of myself that I wouldn't understand without my barefooting journey. And I genuinely, truly mean that. I don't think I would understand my sensory issues. I think I would still be torturing myself, trying to go everywhere with shoes, triggering insane meltdowns that I look back on and I'm like, oh my God. And it's crazy because I didn't understand why I was acting the way I was. And it is crazy to realize that I was so overstimulated by my shoes and I was so overstimulated by noises and lights in ways that I couldn't understand that it was sending me into these freak out states, you know, these meltdown states. And that was a very misunderstood time in my life by psychiatrists and other doctors, and all because I didn't know what was going on in my body and I didn't know my own internal experience. And even still, you know, like, you know, I'll have a bad meltdown and it's like, oh, because it can be the dumbest thing. This is what it feels like. Because it's literally like, oh, I'm so hungry. I'm so thirsty. I'm so overstimulated by literally the needs of my body that I didn't know I needed until the point in which it's like, I need it now. Then I'm having a meltdown and it's like, I don't even know what's going on. And getting very hangry, for sure, type of things. But how just, and in ways that were beyond normal, but at the same time, right? Anybody can get hangry if anybody goes sleep deprived enough, if anybody, you know, is deprived of food or anything, any of these things long enough, you know, this is going to trigger their nervous system. This can trigger, you know, some kind of meltdown state. This is going to trigger out a freak out, you know, and some kind of survival state. And, you know, that's what these meltdowns are. And so, of course, we're all humans. We're on a spectrum of existence. But, you know, for individuals with ADHD and autism, this is having much more sensitive nervous systems. Even when our issues with interoception cause us to not recognize hunger or pain or whatever for long periods of time, we are still having a more sensitive nervous system experience because the moment we become related or not related, we become aware of it. It's almost like it suddenly becomes relevant to us because we become aware of it. It is like a wave of destruction. That's the only way I could feel weird all day and it's like, and I won't realize till the wave of destruction comes over that I literally forgot, or even if I ate, I didn't eat enough, but I thought I ate enough because I just had no awareness of that in my body. And it's more of just like me learning like, oh, I need to eat. Like I tell myself all the time, I need to eat because I just know I need to because it's a human fact that I need to eat. But the actual craving of food that I need to eat experience, I really only have when I'm like ready to rip into food like a animal, like if that makes any sense. And that is a very common experience where a lot of individuals with ADHD and autism that have, you know, issues with, you know, recognizing these issues of interoception and things like that. And there's so many different aspects of even tied into this, but you know, as crazy as it sounds, being, you know, my barefooting journey, being barefoot, it'll help me to recognize and relax and come into my body more, to actually learn to be able to recognize more, or and to kind of find ways of kind of like pulling myself back into my body to kind of recognize a little bit better, or even just be able to remember better whether or not I ate and, you know, I need to, or I need to do this, or because, you know, remembering to take care of your needs can definitely be a huge issue with ADHD and autism. There's many different aspects of that, for sure. So many different aspects of that within each. But at the same time, when you don't, when you have that nervous system crash, it can be a very intense experience. But with how overstimulating shoes can be, And the ways that I can just interfere with just our minds and being able to be aware of the other things going on in our bodies, because it's like we're so hyper aware of our feet and our shoes and the overstimulation and pain that's causing, especially because overstimulation over prolonged periods of time, it does trigger the pain receptors in the brain. Now, this doesn't have to be a super long period of time either, but the longer a period of time in which overstimulation occurs, the more in which the pain receptors are going to be triggered in the brain. And an overstimulation can be triggered by so many different things and experiences with sounds, lights, and, you know, like physical sensory sensations. So like with shoes and stuff, like wearing shoes can just be so overstimulating that it can definitely trigger those pain receptors in the brain. And once those pain receptors are triggered in the brain, that can cause so many different negative aspects on the nervous system and things. You know, a lot of autoimmune issues are connected to, you know, the disruption of the nervous system from prolonged periods of time, and this is connected to post-trauma and or ADHD and autism and extreme sensory overload, overstimulation issues, and this is something that is being more and more recognized in individuals that were, you know, undiagnosed. And primarily, you know, we see women and AFAB people being misdiagnosed or undiagnosed for ADHD and autism. And I mean, this has just been an ongoing thing. And unfortunately, kind of like what I was saying earlier, how it's like our own perspectives influence the way that we interact with the world, just like then the world around us then influences their own perspectives and opinions. It's kind of like that that we've seen around ADHD and autism in AFAB, assigned female birth people, for so long, where just these misconceptions from doctors and professionals and just the general society on autism and on the different and ADHD and on the differences between, you know, AFABs and AMAB, how these, you know, different perceptions then influence, you know, the diagnosis process and the way that's in society when we to understand ADHD and autism, and how, you know, in the last few years we've realized just how much of that was just wrong and sexist, and there's so much there, but there's so much within that with how perceptions of internal and external realities influence each other and how that it can influence one's life. And not understanding your body, not understanding your mind, not understanding your own experiences. From my own experience, it keeps you from being able to advocate for yourself because you don't know what your needs are. You don't know what your boundaries are. You don't know that you even have boundaries at times. You don't know what any of those are. And especially with autism, there is a natural struggle with the separation of self and others. And there is also a very similar, you know, struggle with ADHD and autism, or, you know, as well, you know, between those as well. But, you know, sorry. And this can look very different for other people. The separation of self and others, you know, and it doesn't always look just in one direction either, for individuals at all times. But this is a struggle with separating, you know, our reality from other people's reality, where, and this is why a lot of people with autism, you know, we mirror other people, or, you know, we kind of take on what we feel like we're supposed to feel, or what we think others are, you know, permitting us to feel, and what we're, you know, allowed to. And because, or, you know, when other people have their own thoughts, feelings, and emotions, we feel like we have to, you know, feel that. We feel like we have to become that. And that's the only thing that's allowed. Or at the same time, there can also be, because of this is what we're feeling, we think that everyone else is feeling that or experiences it or sees it the same way. And this is also tied into the aspect of over-identification that is within the autism diagnosis criteria as it was updated with the DSM-6. So this does have to do with this sense of over-identifying as well. But it's a little more complicated than that. But, you know, we are near the end of April. You know, we got 3 more days left of April, if you include today, right? Or wait, 7th, 28th, 29th, 30th. I guess that's only 4 days if we count today. Okay, sorry. And, you know, April is Autism Awareness and Acceptance Month. I think the acceptance part is another important thing to remember. I think that, you know, but at the same time, I know people bring up, well, you know, we need more of the acceptance and the awareness. There's enough awareness. But I think that there's not enough awareness. I think there's enough awareness around certain autistic experiences or certain aspects of the autistic experience, but there is not awareness around the majority of that. And it's incredibly frustrating. And even things that are literally textbook autism, you know, within myself and with other people, that have been recognized even before this, you know, new revelation of information. I mean, things that have been recognized as textbook autism since autism was recognized as a thing at all. How these things get so overlooked and misidentified and excuses get made because of just these stereotypes. And that's something like even me and my mother have talked about where, I mean, a lot of the most basic stereotype, typical things about autism, I exhibited very clearly and blatantly. But they didn't think there could be anything wrong with me, which is actually funny because I was like a high-risk pregnancy, and my mom, the entire pregnancy, they told her I was going to like possibly come out with Down syndrome or some kind of neurocognitive stuff. And after they realized I didn't have that, they were like, well, you're fine, you look fine, and didn't think to do any other testing. So my point is, with that, there can be so much more going on than just what meets the eye. There can be so much more going on within our experiences that we don't even understand, we don't have the language for. And also, a lot of these harmful stigmas, stereotypes, belief systems, perspectives that people lead with or and that exist in our external environment already, they influence the way we look at ourselves and the ways that we look at each other. And with this, it's a huge aspect of how people have been misidentified and get misidentified and misdiagnosed with their conditions. And that's something even within my own experience where there were so many things, even just like the tag thing in shirts, like, you know, that was just such a common thing. You know, I remember associated with autism at that time, it was like, oh, tags and shirts, you know, I always heard growing up. And I was always one of those things that I always struggled with, that even before I even knew that was a thing that people with autism struggled with, I was that kid that, you know, was freaking out and having a meltdown because the tag in their shirt, but I was just labeled as dramatic and throwing a tantrum and, oh, she's just sensitive. And it's funny because everything that I was harmfully labeled goes back to, I was autistic. And I have aunts and my mother now that are like, how did we not see this? And then one of my aunts who was, you know, diagnosed even brought it up to my mom before even knowing that I had already been on this journey and had even already had this experience during my child, or perspective, or their opinion. They already had thought that, you know, I was autistic in my childhood before anybody else did. And they themselves are as well. And so, like, I think that, where am I going with this? It is really important to understand that there is still a lot of awareness and acceptance to be done around autism. And a lot of the reason why, too, I feel like there is controversy over that is people don't realize how well we mask, but they also don't realize, they undermine our intelligence as well. They don't realize, you know, how much we've had to learn to survive, but they also forget how much of that survival mechanism can exist outside of our conscious awareness and our intelligence. It is just these survival responses within us to where we've learned how to behave. We also understand with the way that autism is wired, we have often notably, right, more intense pattern recognition. So although we may not understand social cues and social dynamics, that pattern recognition that is happening even without our conscious awareness often is going to kick in, and we are going to live in survival mechanisms that we often, you know, a lot of us can mask until we can't anymore, better than most people can. And we can hide pain and hide anything better than most people can, even when we have a more intense experience of it, because we are trained from literal toddlerhood, infancy really, to be constantly uncomfortable and be in pain and to suffer. And because I don't think we understand how bad overstimulation can be. And for me, my issues triggered other autoimmune conditions and things like that, and within my nervous system. And the thing is, when you live in this survival state, when you live in fear, when you live in trauma, and you have these automatic, you know, defense mechanisms going on, it can be so hidden from the rest of the world until it can't be hidden anymore. And then when we can't hide from people because we're so good at hiding, our struggles is often looked at as you're just a jerk, you know, you're just a bad person, or maybe then even if people are nice that day, they'd be like, oh, we're just tired today, or blah, 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 like blah, blah, blah. But often we are demonized and looked down on, and, you know, there is morality and added to our struggles. And there's a reason why so many of us, until we can't and we burn out, also do go without being misdiagnosed, just because there were already these existing perceptions and belief systems that contribute to that. And then being in a survival state and with our pattern recognition, we had to learn how to survive and conform. And then once you get to a point where you can't anymore, but also adulthood will expose that enough. There were so many things in me which I couldn't conform and I couldn't mask. And looking back, you know, it's very obvious, honestly, even in high school that, you know, my ADHD, my autism, but because I was in middle school and high school, it was looked at as, oh, they'll grow out of this. And I didn't. So in some ways it got worse because of entering burnout. So, you know, I think it's very important to be aware of that. But also, too, the more that you are accepting and loving and willing to listen and understand autistic people, the more that we are naturally going to show more of our autism to you and be more safe to do so, because a lot of this masking happens completely outside of our control. That I mask on myself all the time. I'll think that I'm being the most genuine, open self that I can be around friends or loved ones, and then I'll later realize that that was not true at all. So I do want to get this out, and I know I talk a lot about, you know, autism with autism being a part of my experience, and I hope, you know, to move forward where we can talk about more things in general. But also with that being said, it is Autism Awareness and Acceptance Month, so I do not feel bad for my rants or my rambles. I just hope that people can take away something from it, but also understand that autism is a very diverse spectrum. My experiences do not represent nearly everybody on the spectrum, just like anybody else. And, you know, it's interesting to see where I am my own kind of stereotype that I never knew existed, while, and a lot of other people like me never knew existed, because we were put under so many other harmful labels and ideas and things like that. And when you don't know what your sensory experiences are, like I didn't understand the ways that wearing shoes and all these other issues, my sensory experience, not understanding my needs, were causing such intense meltdowns. And it's crazy how intense things, you know, have changed over time, and barefooting is a huge aspect of that. And as crazy as it sounds, like I even noticed in the colder times when I have to wear shoes more, or like it really does mess with my mental health and those meltdowns and things like that. And even just not just like the physical body and the pain and things like that. Just even just having shoes on my feet, like even when I need to wear them, it can just be overwhelming and overstimulating. And sometimes I don't even realize it's the issue until I'm just like, again, like you're in that state, like, ah, I just need to tear through the world and like, I need to tear these shoes off, or like, you know, kind of like when you're hangry where you're like, I need to tear through food, you know? Until you're having those really intense experiences, you know, it can be really confusing. But barefooting has been a huge aspect of me regulating my nervous system, understanding my experiences, understanding my ADHD, understanding my autism, because when you don't have all that extra overstimulation going on, you can think clearly. And when you're overstimulated, you can't think clearly. I mean, I feel like there's also like a spectrum of it. And my partner is very aware of that, thankfully, where even if I may look fine to other people and I'm not actively freaking out, he knows that I also have, you know, at times where it's like, if I am too overloaded and too overstimulated, I can't think rationally about anything. The smallest things. That, first of all, are already going to be harder for me because, again, the smallest things come with so much more social innate skills that I'm lacking, you know, that it can be an issue, you know. Where am I going with these rants? But at the same time, he knows that that overstimulation basically, and even like now I'm kind of like overstimulating my own body as I start to think. But overstimulation can it literally makes it hard and sometimes impossible to think rationally because of the way it literally affects your executive function on top of any other experience that you may be having within your body and like brain and in your reality to contribute into the meltdown experience. And then also if you are entering a meltdown experience and going into that survival state. But, you know, he's someone that understands that where it's like, and even if no one else does that, like even the smallest things, I cannot think rationally about it. I'm like, I can't even think of a good example, but like it's literally the dumbest thing. To me, that seems like the end of the world. And to other people, it is just like daily life. Like it could literally about me trying to feed myself, you know, and I'm trying to figure out the right time or how to whatever. And it's like, or what I, you know, and it's just like, I'm freaking out because I can't even think rationally because, you know, I'm like, well, I also have all these other, you know, stomach issues. So now I have to like think and put all this work into what I'm eating and I can't even do that. And now I'm freaking out, you know? And so shoes and, you know, wearing shoes can cause a lot of those issues. But at the same time, you know, with, you know, awareness of, you know, with autism awareness and, you know, I, you know, do also want to bring, you know, awareness to ADHD and the similar ways that it can, be experienced, you know, with the nervous system and like sensory issues. But, you know, of course they are still their own very different things. But not everyone who is autistic and not everyone with ADHD, you know, can barefoot or is barefooting, you know, good for them. You know, a lot of people have sensory issues around barefooting. There are people in my life, you know, in my family that have sensory issues around barefooting and or just have to have shoes to get certain tasks done and in ways that are just completely different than mine and so many of us, you know, barefooters. So it is important to be respectful and understanding that barefooting is not a, you know, one-size-fits-all coping mechanism for everybody with ADHD and autism or every disability or anything like that. But, you know, this is awareness on respecting the ways that it legitimately is crucial accommodation for people, disabilities, whether that be cognitive, neurodivergent related, or the, you know, their physical health or the physiological overlap of both, you know, because we are all very complex people. We do not have one-size-fits-all journeys at all. There's literally nothing about us that, you know, can be, you know, even people that, you know, understand my, you know, experience almost as close as it can with, you know, my autism, ADHD, and my life, you know, we are still our own individuals with very different experiences and very different needs. And, even when we can find the similarities between us, you know, even for me, it can be hard as someone who is prone to over-identifying because autism, you know, it can be really hard to, you know, remember all the ways that we are still different from people. And remembering that it's beautiful, you know, and there's nothing wrong with you for being different. As long as you are not hurting yourself or hurting other people. And I guess I should say, you know, more of like, you know, harming even, which I guess like hurting and harming sound like the same, but, you know, we can all accidentally, you know, hurt each other's feelings and we're all not perfect people. But if you are, you know, it's not if you are, you know, if you're, but they're, you know, but if we're actively, you know, causing harm, you know, to ourselves and to others, you know, intentionally, then that of course is a huge problem, of course. But you know, if your barefooting, you know, is something that is helping you and is something that is taking care of you and a valid, crucial coping mechanism for you, whether that be for your physical body or more of that mental health or the overlap or your emotional health, whatever that may be, you know, that is valid. But I do encourage you, of course, to take it, you know, at your own pace, check in with your body. However, you know, like, what do your feet feel like, what do your feet look like, you know, being aware of the temperatures and being aware of the surfaces in which you're walking on. You know, if you're new to this or if you're just getting back into it, you know, from the winter and stuff like that, you know, I would definitely start with, you know, smoother surfaces and, like, walking more on. And I would keep concrete as, you know, just basic concrete as one of your toughest of the surfaces. Because you'd be surprised how much, like, walking on concrete, just flat, basic sidewalk concrete, and even different concretes are different, the textures are different, how much even that can wear out your feet if you do it for too long and you're new to it. You're just getting back into this, and I'm just saying this from experience throughout the years, even for myself, and, like, but it's definitely good to push yourself and push those new limitations, you know, make those new milestones because, you know, our feet are adaptable and, you know, it does take, you know, pushing ourselves a little bit, of course. You know, I've been able to get out more and it's helped a lot being in nature and being able to be barefoot and just it's so crucial. It's so crucial to my nervous system, my mental health, my emotional health, just every aspect of my being. And it's definitely frustrating when I have to wear shoes due to other sensory issues or muscle-related issues. Because for me, sometimes walking on flat surfaces with can just be hard for my bones. But that's its own thing. Where I do need something, unfortunately, in between to cushion between my bones and the ground, which is its own kind of sucky experience. But anyway, the thing is we all have our own very different experiences. And, you know, I'm, you know, speaking on mine because that's, you know, what I can speak from. But definitely from experience with, you know, my mental health, my emotional health, and my physical health, and even my spiritual health. But even in some ways, especially my spiritual health, barefooting is so crucial. Even if, like, even at times when I can't do it, like, 24/7, being able to find those times to do it is so crucial. And being able to take the time to ground and just stretch and kind of move my body with itself, with the earth around me, just more naturally, it's just really crucial to every, like, facet and dimension of myself. And there are so many people out there that definitely feel the same way. You know, and barefooting is a protected right, and it is recognized as a protected right due to the reasons that people barefoot for spiritual and religious reasons, people barefoot for cultural and heritage reasons, people barefoot for medical reasons, again, neurodivergent, mental health, physical health. But it's important to remember that there are no laws or health codes against barefooting in the United States. There have never been any laws or health codes against barefooting in the United States. Those no shoes, no service signs are actually illegal. And what's funny to me, too, is often if you notice, a lot of places will actually have them handwritten. But even, too, some people do have them on some kind of font on the door, like some kind of, like, decal or whatever. But actually, those are illegal. They are illegally discriminating against you. if they tell you you cannot be in a store barefoot. Now, if it is a place that has a private membership and you have to be like a private member to be a part of, then like that can be a little different. They can kind of have like their own rules around it, but their rules and regulations, you know, against barefooting have to be like legitimate concerns of human safety. They just can't be like, oh, we're banning shoes because we're banning shoes, they can't be like, we're banning barefootedness because we're just banning barefootedness. They can't do that. They have to have like a legitimate reason in their rules and guidelines and procedures in which why or policies, sometimes I'm in which barefooting, you know, just isn't allowed. They have to have like legitimate reasons. It's been a while since Audrey has been able to come on, but I know she's had experiences with doctor's offices and things where they've even tried to say it's against the policy and, no, it isn't. And the receptionists have ended up making complete fools out of themselves, even with their own HR team. So, not just to her, you know, yeah. There are no laws or health codes against barefooting in the United States. And what's interesting, too, is even with medical settings, you know, people can be like, oh, well, there should be some kind of policy or procedure against it, even though it's not true. Now, for me personally, when I was at the hospital yesterday, I had shoes on just because that's my own personal thing, where I personally just don't feel comfortable being in the ER with my out shoes just because I'm paranoid. You know, but I feel like I probably have been before when I was there, like for myself, I've probably been barefoot, but like, I don't know. Anyway, today I was paranoid. Cause it had been technically today. It was 4:00 in the morning. But at the same, where am I going with this? But at the same, in medical situations, you have to think there are no, laws or health codes against it. And also too, it's like, this is a medical need. You have to think too, you know, doctor's offices, things like that are supposed to be safe places. I know Audrey's talking about how, when a receptionist brought up one time, well, what if there's a needle or something, or what if you step on a needle? And she's like, and Audrey's like, this is a doctor's office. Do you have loose needles around often for anyone to just step on? And the receptionist didn't have anything to really say to that because she realized that it was kind of ridiculous. Like yes, accidents can happen, but we have to remember, if you're going to your regular physician, I'm not even talking about going to a hospital either, where there, you know, there could be obviously more intensive things going on, especially if you're like, you know, an ER or whatever, you know, or these more intensive care units, whatever. I'm not getting into that. But what I'm talking about is like, if you're going to a legitimate doctor's office, or you're just going to a doctor's appointment, these are supposed to be safe places, you know, and also too, I mean, even if, especially if you're going to a therapy appointment, psychiatry appointment, I don't see how that should be a problem at all because, you know, you're just going to an office pretty much like that. And I mean, I've had, you know, people say things, but also I've even had experiences with my, medical health where I've had it, you know, my barefooting very respected and understood, you know, with my fibromyalgia and, you know, with my sensory issues and ADHD and autism. And I even actually had a GI doctor, who was actually really supportive of that. And, cause she had just asked, she had noticed that I was barefoot. And I was like, oh, you know, it just helps with, you know, my muscles and everything. And she was like, you know what? Like, you know, you do what's, good. You know, you know your body better than anyone. And I was just, you know, supportive thing. And there were different aspects of that. And that was like one, a really good experience for me. But again, it was just but I feel like some of those best experiences are never with the doctors in which you need those kind of level of experiences with. So I encourage people to be more understanding of the ways in which sensory issues and overstimulation do cause legitimate issues, and in which barefooting can be a solution for that, but also in which all the other ways in which barefooting can be a legitimate coping mechanism and tool for various disabilities. And barefooting definitely has a role in healing. You know, there's a lot more ongoing research around you know, the ways that emotions get stored in our bodies with unprocessed emotions, and you know, our nervous systems and things with all these different sensory experiences, and even chemical, you know, experiences, electrical experiences. You know, our bodies are very chemical and very electrical. Our brains and our hearts are two of the most electrical parts of our bodies, but every signal in our body is electrical, and there are our nervous systems are, and our, you know, from our brain constantly sending electrical signals throughout our entire body along our central nervous system, and different, you know, conditions can cause a disruption within these signals, you know, how that they are, how they interact in the body, how they're received in the body. And although there's so many different aspects in, you know, sorry, my brain, guys, I feel like I'm sorry, you know. I'm going to run a quick ad break because I realize I didn't run any ad breaks. I'm going to see if I can gather my brain and get this point out more coherently. This is Barefoot is Legal Radio. Barefoot is Legal is a 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to the rights and legalities of the barefoot lifestyle. And it's important to remember that there are no laws or health codes against barefooting in public spaces in the United States, and there are no laws against driving barefoot either. So we'll be back after the quick ad break. Take care, folks.
Earthing, also known as grounding, is the act of touching our body's skin directly to the earth, just like our ancestors did as they slept, sat, and walked on the ground nearly every day of their lives. This simple connection allows Earth's natural negative electrons to enter the human body, pacifying dangerous free radicals, which, if left unchecked, can cause severe damage to cells that can lead to many chronic diseases. Ground Therapy's patented process and suite of products were designed for you to experience all the benefits of grounding in your busy and modern lifestyle. And you'll experience the benefits of grounding within the safety and comfort of your home or office throughout the entire day, just as if you were touching the earth itself.
The information is provided for general informational purposes only. The contents are not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Ground Therapy Incorporated makes no representations about the efficiency, appropriateness, or suitability of any specific tests, procedures, treatments, services, opinions, healthcare providers, or other information that may be contained in or available through the information provided.
Most people say they hate wearing shoes and would go barefoot if they knew they were allowed. People say it all the time on their social medias, but they are worried that someone will say something to them. So everyone wears the cheapest flip-flops with the least amount of fabric on them. Most people do not even know that it's completely 100% legal to go barefoot into a store. Most people think that driving barefoot is illegal, but it isn't. Driving barefoot actually is safer than wearing most shoes. Going outside barefoot for a walk is one of the healthiest things you could do, but most people are afraid someone will say something. Or they quote the myths and the rumors that their grandma told them years ago. The fact is, there are no laws against driving a car, going to a store, or eating in a restaurant barefoot. So don't give in to bad fashion, hurt heels, or a broken flip-flop. For more information, please check out barefootislegal.org or find us on your favorite social media. Hello, everyone. I want to introduce you to our friends at Marty.com. At Marty, you can stock up on all your pantry items and other household items for way, way cheaper than traditional grocery stores. I like that most of the items are organic. Also, I really dig their 1 cent deal of the day. It changes every single day. I recently snagged a 10-ounce bag of dog treats for Chewbacca for a penny. Normally, they sell on their site for $7.99. With the upcoming food shortages, this is my favorite place to stock up on canned goods. If you live in the mountain or Pacific time zones, you need to get with Marty.com. M-A-R-T-I-E.com. look for our link on our freedomizerradio.com website and get a $10 free just because I told you to go there. Marty.com. Great deals, good feels.
Hello, folks. We are back with Barefoot is Legal Radio. Barefoot is Legal is a 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to the rights and legalities of living the barefoot lifestyle, as well as general information, support, and encouragement. Here on Barefoot is Legal Radio, we kind of just talk about various different aspects of, you know, the barefoot lifestyle, and I think there's so many more ways in which barefooting, as a barefooter, you know, we're so aware of, you know, how barefooting influences so many different aspects of our life and is embedded and within so many different aspects of our life. But so much of the rest of, you know, the rest of the world, you know, the shoe wearing world, you know, they don't, you know, they don't understand because they don't have, you know, those same kind of experiences. And there's nothing, you know, wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with people having different experiences. I think a lot of people, a lot of their misconceptions around barefooting, you know, are just influenced, you know, by, you know, society and, you know, their environment and, you know, what they've heard, what they've been told, you know, the fears and, you know, and a lot of us, even, you know, barefooters, you know, a lot of the adults when we were children, you know, were so worried of us hurting ourselves, wearing shoes. And I think that definitely as children, with children, that's a very, very valid concern. And so, you know, when we hear these, you know, concerns too, you know, during our, you know, our childhood, and we're, you know, these things are so ingrained that sometimes the things that are ingrained in our childhood, even as our experiences change, our lives change as we get adulthood, it can be really hard to challenge that information and those belief systems and those schemas that were embedded within us during our childhood. And so, you know, a lot of people, unless they have a reason especially to break out and barefoot, you know, they're not going to challenge, those concerns of safety and fear they were taught. And there are legitimate, of course, concerns of safety, right? But I think what's important to understand, though, too, is our feet are adaptable. And it's about, you know, taking at your pace. And, you know, over time, your feet are going to adapt more to your surroundings. I mean, there are times where, different periods where I have been able to walk over broken glass and I've had no issues walking over a path of pretty much straight splinter looking things and having no issues, while other times, not having that same experience at all because of, you know, being, you know, not barefooting in the winter. And, so, you know, our feet are definitely adaptable, but then, you know, we can lose that progress in the winter, you know, so it's very mindful. And then even too, you know, as we get back up into, you know, the heat and as we get into summer, you know, it's definitely going to, you know, have to be more mindful of, you know, how hot surfaces are, make sure we're not overdoing with the heat. But even with that, you know, the more tough your feet are, the tougher they get on the bottom, the more just natural zones you're going to have to the heat, because you're going to have, you know, more callus protecting your feet from, you know, the heat. But, you know, you also have to be careful. There are times where, in 2020, you know, at the beginning of my journey, you know, I had overdone it with getting, you know, blisters from the heat or just, I didn't fully understand my issues with interoception. I was very aware of, like, my pain sensitivities, but I wasn't really entirely aware of my issues with interoception, the ways that I was often overdoing it and causing harm to myself and even, like, overdoing it with different health conditions, and I had no idea until I had reached that point where it's, like, it was very abundantly clear to me, or very obviously clear to me that I was overdoing it, like, way too much. And so it can definitely be a struggle to just, you know, take it slow and, you know, check in with yourself. But it can definitely be frustrating. I know sometimes too, you know, wearing socks can help. I mean, obviously, yeah, if it's hot out, that can be kind of an uncomfortable experience. But there are times where I've done that where, you know, that uncomfortable experience of wearing socks in hot weather is, you know, worth it to me than, you know, directly say at times, you know, especially earlier in my journey, like in 2020, with barefooting, where the ground would just get too hot, but I just couldn't wear shoes. It was just caused too much issues for my back and just for me mentally, and just getting overstimulated and stuff. So I would, you know, wear socks in it. I mean, it would kind of add a little bit of a barrier, but again, of course, it's not, you know, going to be perfect. If you're somewhere where I've got scorching heat, good luck to you is the best I can say. Thankfully, I mean, we had a pretty hot, we've had some pretty hot summers lately, but I mean, I can't imagine some of these places that get even hotter than we do here in the Midwest. You know, it's important to listen to our bodies and, you know, take care of our bodies. And, you know, just don't rush into it, you know, take care of yourself. I almost forgot, but again, I did want to, and I had meant to talk about this earlier. So again, you know, it is, April is Autism Awareness and Acceptance Month. I definitely recommend checking out Barefoot Autism Challenge on Instagram. This is an organization started by Tyler Leach, who is autistic himself and a barefooter. And this is his way of, you know, advocating for himself and advocating for autistic barefooters and advocating for barefooting to be recognized as a legitimate accommodation and accessibility issue for autistic people and other people as well. I think within, you know, the I think that, you know, just what even I think that this awareness just showing that autism is also just crucial, that barefooting is a crucial coping mechanism and accommodation and accessibility tool for autistic people, and it being recognized as, you know, a disability accommodation is also crucial for other people to have barefooting more recognized as a disability accommodation accessibility issue. I genuinely believe that there is, you know, solidarity to be found in the general disability communities and accessibility and accommodations. You know, there is a general level of solidarity and, you know, a need to support each other. And I think that if one person's disability isn't respected, I mean, that's just leaves the doorway open for any disability to not be respected. And and that's where I also think that advocacy of, you know, any, you know, disability, you know, does, and that accessibility and accommodations to be recognized for it does help with advocacy and accommodations, accessibility and other disabilities to be recognized. Because although these all, you know, all disabilities are very different experiences, and it does look like the show is set up to go 30 minutes afterwards. We did start late. I don't know if my brain is going to be able to go for the whole time, but I am going to try to just finish up these thoughts because we do not have a show behind us today. I had checked, and I can even double check now. Try to, anyways. Although different disabilities and experiences, you know, with different disabilities, of course, can be very different, just like there can be, you know, similarities between experiences and different disabilities. Even with, you know, those, you know, more individual things and possibly similarities aside, there is an overall general blanket branch issue of ableism, accessibility, and accommodation, and just issues around that in our society. And I do think that there just is not enough resources available, enough accommodations, enough accessibility available in a actually truly accessible way to for many disabled people, as disabilities cause issues with being able to advocate, seek out help and get the resources that you need. I definitely think that there is not enough around that in general. And I do think that this, you know, this causes a strain on all of us within our society. If there were more tools and awareness and accessibility and systems in place to recognize and advocate for and accommodate for disabled people, this would put less strain on the family structure, on our, and I'm even saying from experience, on our partners, on the people that love us, who of course love us. And there was, you know, there's definitely something I've been thinking on lately that I had a teacher in high school tell me that was, the more you try to not be a burden to the people you love, the more you just end up being a burden to them. And it honestly took me 4 years to fully understand that. This was during my senior year of high school, right before COVID, like a month or two. And I graduated in 2020. It definitely took me 4 years before I really understood what that really meant. And it's still a struggle. Because often the more we try not to be weak, the more we try to prove something, to be strong, to be resilient, to be independent, to not be a burden, the more we end up making things just worse, the more likely we are to lash out. And when if we can just be honest about what we need and find a way to safely within ourselves accept that, and then be able to communicate that safely and healthily and feel that, know that it's okay and that we matter and that we are accepted, you know, it does help to, it does help those relationships. It does help those things, because the more that we don't love ourselves and we can't accept ourselves and accept our disabilities, that I've definitely speaking from experience, the more we are likely to lash out, shut people out, to make honestly bigger problems out of our issues than if we can just be honest with where we're at and accept it and do what we need to do to get where we need to be, instead of creating all this conflict and turmoil that isn't necessary. And unfortunately, this is something that's often ingrained to us through trauma, and ableism is its own kind of trauma, but ableism is also something that affects everyone in our society, even if you are not disabled. Unfortunately, when we look at the labor force, you know, in the way that we don't value each other's bodies and each other's limitations and each other's needs, there is a very big issue in that. And I think even from experience, it can be definitely hard for people to fully value and take care of each other's needs, though, when we're in our own deficits. And then when we're in our own deficits, you know, we can sometimes struggle to admit that and allow ourselves to take care of ourselves, because we're so worried about having to be there for other people or what other people think we should show up as or expect us to be or whatever. And those expectations just get in the way of us living truthfully and healthily, like in our existence and our experience, which sounds insane, but I think there's a lot of peace to be made in accepting your disabilities, accepting the ways that it affects you, and accepting that this is your reality. And there is no shame in that, but shame, you know, that is something that can cause us to lash out on ourselves, but especially even on others, because we don't feel deserving of their love, but we know we need love. We know we need care. And when you're freaking out because you're entering, you know, some kind of state of needing something, you know, even if you're not being abusive, you know, but you're just, you know, you're having a freak out, you're having a meltdown, you're having an episode of crisis, whatever, you know, you're having, when we don't accept ourselves for who we are and what's going on with us, we're more likely to lash out because we feel at war with ourselves. We feel like we don't deserve the help we need, but there's a part of us that knows we need it. So it's almost like we have to scream to get it out. And even if you're not actually screaming, but it's like you have to, like, it's like you're, you know, screaming at yourself even on the inside to be able to even get what you need out. And then it can turn into a harmful attack on the other person. Even if you're not being abusive, you're still lashing out on them. And I think that there is so much healing to come from just accepting that you are weak and accepting your weak states and your weak moments. Because we're all human and we all have states of weakness. And I think the more that we accept states of weakness in ourselves, we are also more likely to accept state of weaknesses in other people, especially other people that we look to for support and love and encouragement. Because when you're so at war with yourself and you're so dependent on someone else without love and encouragement, you're just creating more turmoil. And I encourage everyone to accept your disabilities, accept that the ways that you have to take care of them. If barefooting is a crucial way in which you need to take care of your body and your disabilities, accept it and embrace it and know that there is no shame around that. Yes, there might be people that have their harmful ideas and opinions, but they are ableist. And I know that it's not easy to heal from ableism and it's not easy to overcome. It follows you. And even when you think you've overcome it, it seems like anything anybody says can pull you back into that. And it can be really hard to get out of, and it can be really hard to like yourself. But you deserve love, and you deserve respect. And, you know, when we recognize this within ourselves and we allow ourselves to embody, you know, that sense of love and respect for ourselves, even when we're not okay, even, you know, it doesn't mean that having that love and respect for yourself doesn't mean, like, you're going to be, like, glittering and magical and amazing, you know, feeling. Sometimes loving yourself is when you feel like absolute crap and you feel like you're at a crossroads where you want to beat up yourself because you feel like that's what you're supposed to do, because it's what everyone has told you your entire life, that that's what you're supposed to do. But instead, pushing through and doing the hardest thing of all, which is going against what everyone says and choosing to love yourself anyways and know, I deserve to still take care of myself. I still deserve what I deserve. I still deserve what I need. And, you know, and so if barefooting is something that you need, if that's something you need to do, you deserve to do that. You deserve to take care of yourself. You deserve to live your best barefoot lifestyle. You deserve to do whatever you need to do to accommodate and advocate for yourself, because your needs matter and your rights matter. There are also no laws or health codes against barefooting in the United States. There is nothing morally or legally wrong with barefooting. There are no laws against driving barefoot either. And if anything, it is statistically safer, as shoes like flip-flops, different high heels, sandal shoes have, you know, been connected to driving accidents and stuff like that, with them getting caught on the pedals and stuff. And that's not to scare people, but that is also just a fact that, if anything, it is safer to drive barefoot than it is to drive safer with shoes. Driving barefoot, regardless of whether or not you have sensory issues or not, it's just going to give you more awareness over the pedal and where your feet are and where you're touching. For me, I honestly think that it's dangerous to drive with shoes on. And especially certain moments more than others, but, you know, when I recognize that, I'm going to be barefoot. I'm not going to risk my safety and the safety of other people if I know that I need to be barefoot to drive. And it just comes down to that. But also, there are a lot more people out there that honestly would barefoot if they could and don't like wearing shoes. I mean, I know so many people that just throughout the course of my lifetime that, you know, even though they weren't, and it's like I'm even thinking of people actually right now that I haven't thought about in like years, that even though they weren't barefoot footers themselves, like they hated wearing shoes, they would always take off their shoes to drive. And I remember when I first got into barefooting, you know, how many people would be like, that makes sense, like I never wear them to drive and stuff like that. And unfortunately, even some of those people think that there's laws against it, but there are no laws or health codes against driving barefoot or going into a public restaurant or any public space. And I throw out the restaurant thing in particular because I think that's one of those things people, especially in particular, like, okay, yeah, maybe a grocery store. Okay, yeah, okay, like a gas station makes sense. But, like, that may be okay because they wouldn't care because gas stations are gross, blah, 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 blah. But no, even restaurants, that is your right, and you're not doing anything morally or legally wrong. And you're not Yeah. But also again, shout out to Barefoot Autism Challenge on Instagram. I probably didn't even explain that as well. So they do a challenge every April. This year is an art challenge. So, painting with, doing like some kind of barefoot painting, or was a big way that was recommended. But even if you are some kind of artist or engage in the arts in some kind of other way, you can also do that barefoot. One second. So, anyway, I had a instruction, and again, with the show going at a later time than usual, it was already set up to that, and I'm probably going to end it in a few because my brain, but with it already being set it up to go longer and we didn't have a show behind us, I wanted to kind of end us starting late, technical difficulties, and then the me being here all night, the whole thing, my partner. So, anyway, we're good, though. But definitely recommend checking out Barefoot Autism Challenge on Instagram. If you do participate in the challenge, you can tag at Barefoot Autism Challenge and use the hashtag Barefoot Autism Challenge. And this is a way, and you don't have to be autistic or barefooted to do this. This is just a way of showing your support for, the autistic community and also the barefooting community. And also the overlap that exists within that of the autistic barefooting community. And supporting that to be recognized more and more as a legitimate accommodation and accessibility issue for autistic people and for anybody that has sensory issues or disability issues around barefooting even. I think there's definitely a lot of solidarity to be had around supporting Barefoot Autism Challenge as, just barefooters in general, even if you're not autistic, even if you don't barefoot for disability reasons. I think that it's a great way to show solidarity to people who, have disabilities and why they barefoot, especially with, supporting the autism community and the autism experiences of needing to be barefoot, and those autistic people that, like myself and Tyler Leach and so many other people that need barefooting in their lives to literally function and think clearly and to just have quality of life, at all. And I mean, it's such a crucial thing for us than people realize. I'll say things all the time where it's like, gosh, like, I want to scream, wearing shoes or things like that. And even still, I'll say how certain things that are sensory-related experiences make me want to scream or feel like I'd rather rip my teeth out. And people are like, well, that's traumatic. And I'm like, that's autism. But being autistic is having very, very traumatic sensory experiences. That is our reality. And unfortunately, and even those of us, like struggling with interoception, like that's still a form of its own dramatic experience of, because even if we're not feeling it or experiencing it, those things going on in our bodies can still trigger meltdowns, even if we're not fully aware of what's causing it. And that is still, again, our dramatic experience. And I personally am embracing the whole dramatic thing because a lot of the things my entire life that I was related referred to as dramatic for all related back to my autism pretty much, or trauma. So it's like, I'm reclaiming my drama queen status. I think we should just embrace that. We are dramatic. We didn't choose this. It's our experience. So again, not everyone on the autism spectrum can barefoot, and a lot of people have their own sensory issues and experiences around being barefoot. But I definitely recommend checking out Barefoot Autism Challenge on Instagram and supporting them and taking part in the art-related challenge. I still plan to post mine for the end of the month, even though I've been completely away from posting on social media. And I also, every time something comes up, it's been crazy, it's been busy. I definitely recommend
taking part in this challenge if you can, and showing your support for the autistic barefooting community. And, you know, this is a great way to show support for autism awareness and barefooting accessibility awareness. And I think it's important for us to normalize this. There is nothing morally or ethically wrong with being barefoot in public spaces, for driving barefoot, for just being barefoot and for being yourself. And there's so many other different disabilities in which young people barefoot. There's different physical aspects within my own disabilities, within Audrey's disabilities, and some of the other people. There's a reason why we barefoot. You know, we're not just rebellious, but at the same time, you know what, I guess we are. So what, we're rebelling against people's perceptions. You know, and I think the reason why, though, it's viewed as rebellion is because it's reclaiming our autonomy in so many ways. And I think I was already talking about this before, you know, working with the figures and this, kind of a, you know, trained, and especially for me with my own diagnosed experience, I can say that I was, you know, I was very trained to just be uncomfortable and in pain and overstimulated and be in pain because I was overstimulating so many other things all the time and just what I was being dramatic and too sensitive. Yeah, really not my choice that I'm dramatic and sensitive. That's kind of like my nervous system's doing, right? But, you know, that really influenced the way that I viewed myself, for sure, and so many aspects. But I also didn't know how to take care of myself, and that was just a own harmful thing. I didn't know, but in so many ways through this experience, a lot of us, you know, we have no sense of autonomy. We lose our autonomy. But unfortunately, there's the other side of things that even when you are identified as having disabilities because of ableism, even when you were labeled as having, you know, a disability, you often have people that undermine your autonomy and your boundaries and your needs because of that. And so it's definitely very frustrating, and it can feel like a double-edged sword. And even, too, even when people do recognize my autism, they can, you know, gaslight my experiences because I clearly must not know myself enough because I'm autistic. I can't know that this is a real thing I'm experiencing. But the thing is I want a spectrum of people. You know, our experiences are so different, but autism is a neurocognitive, you know, development disorder, but we still learn and we still develop. We just, you know, we still learn things. We're not completely, you know, helpless creatures that can't learn and can't observe the world around us. If anything, that's the thing, is we're more geared towards learning and observing the world around us than the rest of people really are. And we can't help that. That's literally just in part of how we're wired. And of course, and it's hard because those who have more intense experiences, you know, with their autism and social presentation, are, you know, are often so misunderstood because of ableism. And whether or not someone is verbal does not reflect their intelligence. And I think another thing people need to realize, too, is that even being hyperverbal doesn't reflect one's intelligence. Wherever a person is on the spectrum of being nonverbal to being hyperverbal, none of that reflects one's intelligence. That just reflects the word processing and, like, the more verbal processing of their autism. That doesn't, in the external, like, sense, that doesn't reflect what's even going on in their minds either. Like, and there's so many different ways to that. And gosh, this is such a hard thing to explain. And I know I will never be able to bring enough awareness of any of these things into each show, or really any space is what it feels like, because there's so much more to explain to people than I even have the focus and bandwidth for, and the ability to function my words, but it's up there. But you know, this it's definitely a spectrum, and regardless of where anybody falls on the spectrum, we need to be respectful of that. And accessibility and accommodation still matter. And definitely recommend checking out barefootislegal.org. You can check out some documentation there. There's cards for ADA. Accessibility accommodations that you can print out and take with you. And you can also download like a digital copy as well. You can utilize that for yourself. And there is also documentation on, other no laws or health codes against here from the United States, and other things you can find out and check out over there. I think that's going to be it for today, folks. I'm sorry. My brain, I honestly didn't even feel like I could do the show today. But, you know, just always trying to power through. But remember, there are no laws or health codes against barefoot in the United States. We're not doing anything morally or legally wrong. People barefoot for spiritual and religious reasons or medical reasons, whether that be mental health, emotional health, physical health related. People also barefoot for cultural and heritage reasons. And there are so many different aspects in which that can overlap within one person's personal journey and experience. But it's also important to understand that even within all these general categories in which why people barefoot, for a multitude and of various different reasons. There's no one-size-fits-all journey with barefooting and spirituality or with mental health or physical health or any of that. Even if people follow the same, you know, religion, practices, the same cultural upbringing or heritage or have the same, mental health conditions or physical health conditions, it's important to understand that, you know, these are still these different conditions and different conditions, you know, spectrums. And so, you know, people's symptoms and existence of them can manifest in different ways. But also, again, even with the more, you know, cultural, spiritual aspects, people are each their own individuals with their own thoughts and feelings and emotions and perceptions and opinions and beliefs. And, you know, even, again, like even what we're raised into or whatever may not even, you know, what our parents think may not 100% reflect our entire, you know, thoughts and opinions and experience. Even if we agree with them on, say, religion, culture, and whatever, we're still going to have our own individualized experiences within those because everyone is their own individual and everything is very individualized and nothing is a one-size-fits-all journey. So, you know, be respectful. I mean, if you're curious, you know, there's nothing wrong with that and being curious about other people's, you know, experiences. You know, if it's from a genuine place of wanting to understand, wanting to connect, wanting to learn more about people or this person out of just the sake of wanting to know people and know more about other people's perspectives, that's a really great thing. And, you know, I know I don't really mind when people ask questions as long as they, you know, try to do it in like a nice, respectful way. And believe me, I'm socially awkward, so I'm not going to penalize people to whether or not they're being socially awkward about it. But as long as you're not being derogatory towards me or other people, you know, or being discriminatory, there's not, you know, there's nothing wrong with asking questions or wanting to know more about someone's barefoot, you know, experience if you're, you know, just a general person, you know, interacting in the world. But with that being said, it is illegal for, you know, store owners, store employees to, you know, ask in questions further into, you know, like your spiritual, like religious, medical, you know, cultural reasons for barefooting, anything that is protected under HIPAA. You know, it is, you know, illegal and, you know, for them to ask about, you know, the things protected under HIPAA and those protected rights and statuses in which why you might barefoot. But at the same time, of course, I mean, you know, sometimes like going to, if you go to like a metaphysical, you know, type shop or something like that, you might end up in conversations with people, you know, around barefooting and things like that, more civil life, like experiences, like, you know, type of conversation around barefooting. I've definitely had those, where I've never once felt like this person is invading on my, rights or anything like that. Especially because they don't come at it with discriminatory energy or you can't be in here, ah, you're bare, blah, 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 you know, it'll kind of be something that kind of comes up more naturally and things like that. And that's where I, you know, it isn't really an issue. But again, even if you are, you know, a store employee out there, a store owner, I would be careful even asking people about it at all. Because technically, I mean, you are, you know, violating that person's like rights, you know, even by pushing that. Now, obviously asking once, you know, is an issue. Like, you know, if you ask and a person, you know, sets their boundary, like, nope, that is my protected right. Like, you know, like, you know, like what, but if a store employee keeps pushing on that issue, thinks that they have some right to know, or they have to know, or the demands right to know, to decide whether or not, you know, they get to allow you, and they're discriminating, that is illegal. It's wrong. So, you know, if they ask, I would just say, like, you know, my brain is dead, but just bring up that it is your protected right, and you don't have to disclose that information if you don't want to. So, and I think that can be hard even, you know, to realize, because even for me, like, I'm one of those people that I want to tell everything and tell everyone everything, and unfortunately, that's just the way my annoying autistic mind is, where I am just can lead with such a level of open and trust, which then can cause the opposite for us, where we become so closed off and stuff like that as well. But it's like a duality within our experiences, because there's kind of that emotional side versus like that info dumping side. And it can be very hard as somebody that thinks that, you know, you have to kind of info dump and share all that. But you don't, especially if you've been put in situations where you felt pressured or pushed, where you've had, you know, to put all the information on your disabilities and your illnesses out there. That, you know, that was something I experienced a lot throughout middle school and high school and things like that, with people not taking things seriously, and how realizing, and I've had to like realize how that's kind of influenced me now with, I still do the same thing. So I think it's important to respect your own boundaries, respect your own needs, and understand what they are, and come back into yourself, and just understand that you don't owe everyone all that information, or owe anyone really information on your disabilities and things. You just keep living your best before this train wreck goes on any further. I don't know why I did this. But I felt the need to kind of wrap it up the way my brain works, but there is no wrapping it up with me, I guess. But this is Barefoot is Legal Radio. You can check us out next week at the usual time. But yeah, Barefoot is Legal is a 1C3 organization, and you can check us out at barefootislegal.org and on all social medias. Bye-bye, guys. Take care.